Let's talk about self-storage syndications today. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand self-storage boot camp. That's the premier training I offer that's designed to take a small investor from wherever they are now all the way to putting their first or their next self-storage facility into service. Workbook, forms that we use in our business, everything you need in today's market to go from thinking about self-storage to putting your first or your next one into service. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. So today, last week, I introduced the concept Fundraising 101, and we talked about the three main types, and I know those are broad categories, but I talked about the three main types of fundraising kind of tracks you can go down if you need to use other people's money to help you get in or grow your self-storage business. And I organized it that way basically because that's how I think. A lot of people might think it's silly because there's hundreds, maybe even thousands of ways you can do syndications, for example. But I developed it into three main buckets. Syndications are raising money for very specific deals, joint ventures, and then funds or private placements. So today I want to dive a little deeper, not real deep, but a little deeper into syndications because that's what I used to get started. And that's what I see most people doing as they get started in fundraising to do self-storage projects. Now, before I go any further, the most important team member you're going to have if you're raising money is your attorney. Your attorney is going to guide you every step of the way. Our attorney even helped us design how we were going to organize our LLC and what to offer our investors. But you need a good syndication attorney. So if you don't have one, don't go any further in the fundraising business till you get one. And I would, if at all possible, recommend a local attorney, even if you're living in Nebraska and you're doing a deal in North Dakota, I would probably use a Nebraska attorney, if at all possible. And you want one that is knows about, and here are the words I would use, syndications or private placements. If you don't have that attorney or don't know that attorney, start with an attorney you have. If you have a real estate attorney or a family attorney, and ask them, odds are they may or may not know anything about syndications, but have them refer you to someone. And that's how I would start the process. You could also Google in your area for syndication or private placement attorneys, but you want to find an attorney that you kind of resonate with. And you want to have one that knows your overall strategy and where this deal, a deal, or your next upcoming deal may fall into your overall goals. That way they can best advise you. Your attorney will help you organize what you present to potential investors. They'll help you strategize about the best way to organize your LLC. They'll create the documents, and they'll protect you and guide you as you dive into this world of fundraising. So when I say syndication, what do I really mean? Well, a syndication is nothing but a group of people who've organized themselves together to forward a very specific agenda or goal. In this case, it's a syndication for a self-storage project. Now, in general, there are two types of people in a syndication. You have your sponsors, which is you, usually. I'm assuming it's you. And then you have your investors or the people with the money. Now, you can have different levels of sponsors and you can have different levels of investors. But in general, there's two types of people in a syndication: sponsors and investors. Sometimes they're called limited partners, investors. Sponsors are called general partners. But let's call them sponsors and investors. In general, the sponsors find the deal, underwrite the deal, control the deal, usually get the financing. If it happens to be non-recourse loans, they secure the loan. If it's not, as in most cases when we get going in self-storage, the sponsors are the ones that guarantee the loan. The sponsors organize the LLC. The sponsors come up with what they're offering the potential investors, get the syndication attorney. The sponsors run and control the deal and control the LLC or the entity that's going to own the deal. The investors typically put their money in the deal. They have limited liability. They're limited, hence limited partners. They're basically, what's at risk for the investors is typically the money that they put in the deal. The sponsors are responsible for everything else. Usually syndications are deal specific. In other words, a sponsor controls this project and presents it to potential investors, and they can say yes or no to that specific deal, as opposed to invest, give me your money and we're going to go buy self-storage under these terms and conditions, or a blind pool. Last episode, I outlined a very simple syndication. It looked like this. Sponsors own 50% of the shares. Investors own 50% of the shares. Investors get a preferred return. Today, 8%, not uncommon to see. Any unpaid preferred return accrues and is paid by investors before the sponsors receive any of the cash flow. Usually there's no interest involved in that. If a liquidity event happens, let's say a refinance occurs where there's cash, the investors will get any unpaid preferred return before any proceeds are given to the sponsors. On the sale or disposition of the asset, the same above, only the loans usually paid first, and then any excess cash, unpaid preferred return, and then the balance is split by the sponsors and the investors according to their LLC shares. Now, it's a simple explanation of a syndication, but I've seen those. Now, let's add some things that we've done and that I've seen involved in different types of syndications. Currently, I'm involved in some syndications that have two classes of investors. We are 50-50 on our ownership, but we have Class A and B, or sometimes they're called Class A1 and A2. So let's start with Class A2 or Class B. They're the preferred investors. They get ownership in the entity. So let's say we're raising $1 million. We would probably sell $700,000 or so to the Class B or Class A2 investors. They would get the, whatever the preferred return is. Let's just say today it might be 8% preferred return. And that group of $700,000 investors, they would own 50% of the LLC. The Class A or the Class A1 investors have no equity in the deal, but they get a 12% return on their money. And they get it regardless of how the asset performs. So we might raise $300,000 of $1 million using Class A or A1 investors. They get a 12% return. They have no equity in the deal, no upside in the deal, but they get a higher return, and they get it starting from the moment they invest their money. The sponsors generally can pay the A1 investors off anytime they want. So what this does is it allows the sponsors to make probably a little more money towards the end of the deal, especially when it's sold, because there's less investors. But it usually puts a little more of a cash burden up front. the preferred investors, if there's no cash flow in years one and two, let's say, they get their 8% preferred, but it's deferred. With the A1 investors, they're getting 12%. So very often the sponsors have to put more money up front to handle the A1 investors. But as soon as there's enough cash, they can pay those A1 investors and they're gone. They made good money while they were in. Sometimes this is called mezzanine debt. Sometimes a developer or sponsors will create two funds, a mezzanine fund and a LLC fund to own it. We just typically have different classes of investors. The A1 or A class looks like debt, feels like debt, it's paid like debt, and the cash flow is like debt. They are in front of the B's. They get their 12% before the B's would get their 8%. The B's are accruing, they get it, and the goal of the sponsor is to pay the A's off as quick as they can. You could also structure the deal, we've done this, we do this, where at the time of the sale, and you're divvying up the sales proceeds, once the investors reach, let's say, a 15% internal rate of return, let's say the investors own 50% of the LLC shares and the sponsors own 50%, once the threshold of 15% internal rate of return is reached by the investors, then the sponsors will get a larger percent of the remaining cash sale proceeds. That's what we might call a waterfall, where based on performance, if the sponsors do good, they will be benefited at the end of the project. So there's a lot of ways to organize these syndications. That's where your syndication attorney comes in real helpful. Let me show you another way that we've done it. This is what I used when we first got going. It's called a flip or a conversion very often. And it was structured like this. Sponsors own 70% of the deal. The investors own 30% of the deal. But the investors got a minimum preferred return. Let's say today it's 8%. That's not uncommon. But the investors also received most or all of the cash flow till they got their money back. Our LLC documents said they would receive up to 90% of the cash flow while their money was in the deal. In other words, if an investor put in, let's say, $100,000 with an 8% preferred return, and the project, that would be $8,000 a year. And let's say the project distributed that investor $10,000 in any given year. The extra $2,000 would reduce what was owed by the sponsors to the investors when we gave them their money back by $2,000. Investors also had preferred rights or more rights while their money was in the deal than once they got all their money back in their preferred return. In other words, we couldn't put more debt on the project without unanimous consent. We couldn't sell the project without unanimous consent. And once we, the sponsors, did a value add play, it was stabilized and we could refinance the deal, we would pay the initial investors back their money, any unpaid preferred return, and this was called a conversion. Sometimes they call it a flip, because what happens is, once the conversion happens, the preferred goes away, preferred rights go away, and preferred payments go away, and the investors will get 30% of the ongoing cash flow and 30% of the sales proceeds. The sponsors get 70%. I did this as a way that so that investors would feel safe. When I first got going, I didn't have a track record, and we felt that with my attorney, this was a way we could design a syndication that would have investors feel safe. I would say we don't participate in the cash flow till you got all your money back and all of your preferred return. And once that happens, then we get the majority of the cash flow and the majority of the upside. And what this allowed us to do is do one project, refinance it, go do the next, and these investors went with us because they felt safe and protected. And we were able to build a portfolio using other people's money. I was making a few fees along the way, but mostly I was creating a portfolio for long-term cash flow and creating wealth. Now, for whatever reason, I was able to sell that. A lot of the people I've worked with seem to have a hard time selling it today. Maybe it's a different environment, but a lot of investors don't want to be in a deal and only own 30% of the deal. That doesn't mean they only get 30% of the cash flow through the first part of the deal. It just, for whatever reason, some people I've worked with have a hard time selling that. So the world of syndications is a big world. And there's a lot of ways you can design a syndication that will help you achieve your goals. Work closely with your attorney. The other thing I would do is go into the market right now as an investor. You may or may not have $100,000. If you do, try to find something to put it in. And I'm a passive investor in some funds. I do it, A, it's passive money. It allows me to put my money in a lot of different places to earn income. But it also allows me to see how different sponsors work, how they send their reports out to the investors, how they handle investor relationships. I've learned a lot from doing that. But you could learn a lot simply by attending online presentations or in-person presentations from people presenting their offerings. See what your competition is. If somebody's looking at your deal, odds are they're looking at another person's deal. Then what you can do is see how your deal stacks up in relation to the market. That's why we ended up designing our syndication initially the way it was. I wanted to give an above preferred return, a little bit above what the market was at the time, and I wanted to show up a little bit different than the other syndications were offering. You know, when I did our first syndications, you couldn't use the internet to promote you couldn't advertise that you had a deal that investors could go in. You were breaking the law at that point. If you did that, the world of fundraising has evolved and changed. It's not as uncommon as it used to be. Remember, your team is always important. In self-storage development, your team's important. And in fundraising, your team's important. Have a good team. Your attorney's your primary person. Have a good team in place to support you. And design your syndication offering around what your strengths are, what's going on in the market today, and how you can show up compared to other investment opportunities that an investor may have. The deal structures are endless. For many of us, this is the only way we can get in or the only way we can grow our self-storage business. So just like the world of self-storage, learn the world of fundraising and have fun in it. Now, I will be coming out with a course in the next few months that will go. It's designed for fundraising for the small investor. If you're interested, let me know. I'll put you on the list and make sure you get information about it when it's ready. Or just watch for the emails letting you know it's ready. And again, this is a fundraising course specifically designed for the small investor in self-storage, as opposed to just fundraising for real estate. So thank you very much. My name's Mark Helm, and I look forward to being with you again next week.